Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read again that verse that we're looking at. I don't ever, at any time, remember trying to do what I have felt led to do this week, but we're in it now, so we're going to have to go with it. Look back at that 16th verse, where Paul says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And this morning we come to that phrase where he says of this one who is God manifest in the flesh, that he was seen of angels. And I thought about it, there probably isn't more foolishness, more outward utter stupidity, and more idolatry associated with any being much more than angels. Little gold pins fashioned as angels and angels on your shoulders, and books written about angels. It makes me sick. But Paul says in this mystery of the gospel, this virtual summary of the gospel of Christ crucified, that he was seen of angels. And I thought this is really, the more you think about it, really an amazing thing. Because even the angels, as long as they had existed as created beings, they had never seen the Son of God. And they surely had never seen God manifested in human flesh. They had undoubtedly seen and been in the presence of His holiness. They had seen the demonstration and exercise of His sovereignty, of His power, and certainly of His justice when 1/3 of that company of angels of which they were a part had been cast out with Satan. And they had been dispatched. I don't know how many angels there are. I don't know. They said in times past there was a great debate in religion as to how many angels could sit on the head of a pin. I don't know anything about how many angels there are, but they had been dispatched many times in the carrying out of God's purpose. They had delivered many messages from the throne. And they had been engaged in watching over the Lord's people since time began. He says in Hebrews 1, in comparing and contrasting Christ to these angels, he says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He says, God never said such glorious things even to the chief angel. And then he turns and says this, and it ought to be a consolation to all the Lord's people. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister or to serve for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? They are ministering, serving, helping, protecting, caring servants for the heirs of salvation. And they had seen fallen flesh. They had seen all the failures of Adamic flesh, but they had never seen sinless flesh. They never seen God glorifying flesh. They'd never seen God in flesh. But here he is, come as this one described, as seen of angels, and they announced his birth. In Luke 1 it says, and the angel answering said, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent of God to stand before you and speak this good news. And they beheld his glory when they saw him in the manger, laying there, God manifest in the flesh. And the scripture says that they saw him in such times as they ministered to him in the wilderness and came and strengthened him in the garden, and they beheld him when he hung there on that cross, and they watched over him when he lay there in that sepulchre. They rolled away the stone when the time of resurrection was come. He says, part of this great mystery is that he, this incarnate Christ, is seen of angels. But I've been thinking about this and trying to see what the Lord might point out to us in light of this verse and in light of this context here in Scripture. Because they also are spoken of as having some interest in things that are more and greater than just beholding the person of Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, that first chapter, and look with me in verse 8. Because Peter here is talking about how we by faith see Christ, though we see him not by sight. And he says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? And what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. These are things that the angels desire to look into. Now just hold that in your mind. Because when we read this word angel in Scripture, we have a kind of preconceived idea as to what that means and as to who they are. And we might ought to examine that just a little bit closer. Because knowing the person of God and the purpose of God, what interest, in one sense of speaking, would an angel or one of these created beings have with salvation or redemption as it pertained to them? There was never a redemption for those angels that fell, was there? There was never any word spoken. There was never any sign given. There was never any prophecy made that had anything to do with the spiritual improvement of any created angel. So what does all that mean? Well, what is an angel? In other words, if I say that word angel to you, what comes immediately to your mind? Halos or wings or whatever it is. But essentially, this is what an angel is. That word means messenger. Messenger. And the Old Testament word angel, the root meaning of it is to dispatch as a deputy. Or to speak or to be the bearer of a message from God. That is, an angel is in one sense an ambassador. And so when you read this passage of Scripture here, this verse that we're trying to look at, we find that the very prophets of God, as we see their ministry and as Peter described them, they were, in a sense, angels. If you remember Isaiah, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. How did he see the Lord? You ever wonder how he saw the... How did he see the Lord Jesus Christ? How did it, as Christ said, Abraham see my day and rejoice in it? Well, they saw the Lord by the same way we're enabled to see the Lord. They saw him by faith. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And immediately on the heels of that, in confessing his own sinfulness, when the Lord says, who shall I send? Or who will go for us? And Isaiah says, Lord, send me. Send me. And so in that sense, he is an angel, or he is a messenger of God. And even to this day, though he himself as a man is dead, is still being used of God in that word and prophecy that we love so much, such as Isaiah 53. He's still being used as the angel or messenger of God. The scripture says that after Christ had died and rose again from the dead, it says that he was seen of many. As a matter of fact, turn back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and look with me in Acts chapter 13 in verse 29. It says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. They saw the resurrected Christ. And what was the consequence or the result of their having seen the resurrected Christ? It was that they then were his witnesses. And that was the case with those saints, those New Testament saints that were witnesses to the very resurrection of Christ. And it was also true of those apostles that he himself set forth. Now, every once in a while, I pass by, as I go along in this world, I pass by these religious organizations and I'll see a title for what they call themselves, and underneath it, it'll be Apostle Joe Blow is the head here. Or Apostle so-and-so. Well, the truth of the matter is that there was a particular qualification for being an apostle, in that sense of being one of those 12 original apostles. There was a qualification that was necessary in order to be one of those apostles. What was it? They had to have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Well, somebody says, well, we've got a little problem there, because the man who wrote the better part of the New Testament, Christ had already died and he was not even converted at the time. So how in the world could he fit that description and qualification as an apostle? Well, turn over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, listen to what the Apostle Paul says in just the kind of passing as he speaks in seeking to to justify himself before men in what he told them. And what he says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 1 is this. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? You say, well, when did he see him? He saw him when Christ stopped him on the road to Damascus and unhorsed him and brought him down and blinded him in the brilliance of his resurrected glory and revealed himself to him. He says, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. But what did you do after that, Paul? I'll tell you this, he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't run off somewhere and ask some man what he was to preach. As a matter of fact, he didn't even meet with any of the other earthly apostles, with the various exception of a brief encounter with one of them. But he rather, having seen the Lord, preached him. Preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all boils down simply to this. And that is, not only with those who were witnesses of his resurrection, not only of these apostles who saw him face to face, but the truth is, all who are enabled to see Christ. They're these messengers or angels or witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it always boils down to this. You can't tell somebody. You can't describe. You can't say anything about somebody you've never seen. That's it. Now, I know this from experience. Because I tried, I think, for about maybe 5 or 6 years to tell somebody, or to be a witness, or to describe, or be a messenger concerning somebody that I didn't know myself. I didn't know who he was. You know, that's the most amazing thing. How a man, or how people, can be preachers, and evangelists, and soul winners, and church workers, and all this kind of stuff, when obviously they don't know who he is. Why? Because he has to reveal himself. He has to reveal himself. He has to send me. He had to send me as even a preacher who had preached about 6 years. He had to send me, the pastor of a congregation, supposedly trying to lead somebody else. He had to send me an angel before I ever saw him. Now, he didn't send me. He didn't send me an angel that would fit on anybody's picture in their dining room. He did. But of this Christ Paul says, this one who is God manifest in the flesh, this one who is justified in the Spirit, he is seen of angels, that is, God reveals his Son to these who are to act as messengers. They got a message. Now, I'm not like, who was it, Ehud, the judge, who the left-handed man with a dagger who confronted the king, and he thrust that dagger into that fella all the way to the hilt because he's a fat fella, and he said, I got a message from God for you. No. You see, when you read such passages as Revelation chapter 2, the Lord addresses this message, this word that's given, and he says to the angel of the church at Ephesus. It is impossible almost to think in terms like this. Well, Bill Parker is an angel. I guess some folks think he's a devil. Richard Warmack, he's an angel. Well, he must not be. His wife has just about beat him to keep him wearing black all the time. Doug Weaver, he's an angel. He is, if he's sent of God, with the message of Christ crucified. And one reason why Christ looked at those scribes and Pharisees who were themselves preachers and pastors of a sort, and teachers and leaders, and said of them, you are of your father, the devil, it's because they didn't know Christ. They had never seen Christ. They never had Christ revealed to them, revealed in them, and they didn't preach. They were devils, not angels. And this business of preaching the gospel is a matter, as somebody said one time, with God bringing this message to the heart of his servant, and that servant preaching that message from his heart to somebody's heart that the Lord takes it to. Because an angel is a messenger. And if you notice here in the context in 1 Timothy 3:16, what is the very next statement? He said, preached. Preached. I believe it was Brother Henry said, you can't tell what you know, what you don't know any more than you can come back from where you ain't never been. But what is this message? What is the message delivered that Paul sums up and describes as this? He said, we preach Christ crucified. And all these folks running around here telling me and telling these other men, telling you and stuff like that, they say, well, just preach Jesus. Which one? I don't think hardly a day goes by in my life that I don't hear somebody somewhere in some situation talking about somebody They called Jesus. But Paul said this morning, he said, you know, he said, I'm a little bit fearful of you. He said, just naturally, if apart from the grace of God, anybody come along preaching another Jesus, you'll believe him. No. He said, we preach Christ crucified. Everybody's always saying, well, why are you always talking about blood? And why are you always talking about righteousness? And why are you always talking about the cross? And why are you always talking about Christ crucified? And why are you always preaching what they call a mercantile redemption? Because that's the message of God. It ain't how you live and how I live. And I live by a Marine Corps base, probably maybe the biggest in the world. And so I have like a revolving door coming in every other Sunday, every Sunday. Here comes in a couple. They got, you know, three or four children in tow, and they're here, and all this kind of stuff, and they listen, they look so bright-eyed, and they got the Bibles in the hand. And I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching Christ crucified. Well, you know, that's kind of appealing at the first and all that, and I can almost tell that they're looking at me, and they say, well, we're going to give him a second chance. And so they come back the next Sunday or the next service, whenever that is. They come in, they bring their children in, all smiles, they sit down. Guess what they hear? Same thing. About that third time, they started beginning to question me. When are we going to start hearing about how to live? Or when are we going to find out what it is that you do for the children? Or when is it that we're going to find out what kind of groups your women have or your young people have or your single people have and all this kind of stuff? And I have to tell them this. What do you have for our children? I've got the one thing. As so far as I know, if you live in this town, is the only place you'll find it. And that's the gospel. That is Christ crucified. That is where I stand up before you and try to be an angel and tell you the only way that this God of the Bible, the God of heaven and glory, the only way He can save you in a way consistent with His own self and consistent with His own justice and consistent with His own Word. That's what we've got. I remember one time a lady asked Brother Scott Richardson, after he got through preaching, she said, is Christ really enough? He's a lot wiser fellow than I am. He said, if he's all you got, he is. But if you've got anything else, I can remember when the Lord revealed the truth to me and I began, you know, those folks after I resigned to Southern Baptist Church and went out there, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just going to just be out there somewhere. I was going to find me somewhere to hear the gospel. But I was out of town and they called my wife and they said, ask Gary if when he comes back, if we've rented someplace or gathered somewhere, will he preach to us? And I told her, yeah, and I started out. I knew a little bit more than I knew then, but not a whole lot. But I started out to preach the gospel because I felt like the Lord had shown me something. And so, you know, just preaching the gospel, there came out of that church, I don't know, maybe 60 people at the beginning, and, you know, they're just so delighted in it. But when they began to find out that this wasn't something that just paced onto what you already had, you know, they couldn't hardly go back to where they came from. There's one drift off here and one drift off that and the other. That's 30 years ago. Because this message, Paul said, is going to be a fragrance of life unto life to some, and of death unto death to others. And I've watched over the years how hard people come in, you know, and they're trying to believe. They're trying to believe what we're preaching. They're trying to believe what the Lord's people who He's been pleased to save over the years, what they rejoice in and delight in. They look at it in the Scriptures, and I point it out, and I say, read this and look at this, and it does say that, and they're trying as hard as they can to believe it. But the problem is they don't have any love for it. They don't see it as a matter of life and death. Now, I'm not sure of a lot of stuff, but I'm going to tell you this. This gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, it ain't a matter of a point of doctrine or a higher doctrine. It's a matter of life and death. Heaven and hell. If you believe not that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. And I tell you, if the Lord, you know, He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You think that's the only statement in the Bible sometimes to hear preachers preach. The trouble is, most people don't know what it is to call upon the name of the Lord. I heard a man supposed to be a grace preacher take that one statement of Scripture, preach a whole sermon on it, and he simply made it a matter of like in your heart or with your mouth, so simply just calling on the name of the Lord. You better go back and find out what that means. Because that isn't the first place that's mentioned in Scripture. And you go back in Scripture and find maybe, as I like to do, I use it as a principle of interpretation a lot of times, go back into Scripture and find the first mention of something. You'll find something like this. And Abraham took stones, and he built an altar, and he offered a sacrifice, called on the name of the Lord. A little while later, he moves to another place. Says he takes wherever he settles and makes his camp. He gathers them stones up, and he piles them in a heap. God had already said, don't you put a chisel on them anywhere. You just take them, rear them up, offer that sacrifice, and says he called on the name of the Lord. That means that he worshiped God in the recognition of the only way that God can be worshiped. In the only way that God can receive a sinner. In the only way and basis upon which He can bless a sinner. And that's in a perfect, God-appointed, God-approved, God-provided sacrifice. In a way that shows him to be righteous in blessing, giving, saving, taking unto himself sinners. Righteous grace. Well, one day the Lord showed me that. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an orator. I'm not a scholar. I did manage to struggle through 12 years at Jacksonville High School. He gave me a little piece of paper, you know. Oh, don't forget my one credit for the community college, too. Forgot what it was now. Grammar and composition. But I've seen something. I may struggle to tell it to you. But I've seen something. Man didn't show it to me. God sent an angel. He preached the gospel, the truth to me. And God revealed it to me. And if I tell you anything, that's what I got to tell you about. And if you are ever sent an angel of God, that's what he's going to tell you. And the angel of the Lord, in this sense, and I believe really this is the sense in which that word is used, these who saw this God manifest in the flesh, these who saw this resurrected Christ, these who were eyewitnesses of His majesty, especially these 12 in the beginning that He revealed Himself to and sent out His messengers, these who in time He sends out to preach His gospel, they're angels, messengers, because they've seen by the eye of faith in the gospel of Christ crucified, God manifested in the flesh, who went to the cross on the behalf of His people, died the death of the cross. Do you know that the death of the cross ain't just any death? Said He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Even or particularly the death of the cross. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4 just a minute. Second Corinthians 4. Now, I've never heard anybody at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina say, we got an angel of a pastor. I've never heard that. I don't ever expect to. I don't even want to. But like those men said, I can't help but preach the things that I've seen and heard. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. I used to stand up before men and women and I said, now every head bowed and every eye closed. Now if you feel anything tonight, if you believe you're a sinner, if you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand. Or I'd stand up before them and I'd promise them something. I tell you, if you do this for God, He'll do something for you. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. We're not trying to sneak up on anybody. That's what we used to try to do. We try to sneak up on somebody and blindside save them or gang save them or something like that. No. We're not going to get you under pressure and sing 20 verses of Just As I Am and just wear you down and I'm not going to go to your pew and take you out. And that's, I won't even say what came to my mind. But no. We're committed to this. To being messengers of the truth.